Hey, I'm Jeff Zito, and this is another episode of the Celebrity Jobber Podcast. How about the world of professional sports? A dream to most, and a reality for this guest, Rayshon Jenkins, safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, by the way, are having a pretty great season so far this year. You know, some say a million to one to make it in professional sports. And the odds definitely stacked against Rayshon. How did he get to where he is today? He'll take us through the steps that led to his success. And we'll talk about some of the success that he's had off the field. And his first job. What would Rayshon Jenkins be doing if not playing safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the NFL? We're going to find out on this episode of Celebrity Jobber.
The Celebrity Jobber Podcast with Jeff Zito. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. Check out all our past episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. What if these celebrities weren't famous? What would they have become? What was their first job? We're about to find out.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Rayshon, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing great, man. Born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida. Your whole life you spent here, or tell me a little bit about growing up.
Yeah, born and raised in St. Petersburg, and, you know, I lived in some apartment units called, well, I've kind of bounced around a little bit, but, like, for, you know, a good time of my upbringing, I lived in the James Park apartment complexes.
Okay.
Near the stadium or, like, downtown area. Well, went to middle school at Riviera Middle. Elementary, I went to literally 8 different elementary. So
you went to 8 different elementary schools?
Yeah, or like 6 or 8 or something like that.
Were you moving around, or were you getting in trouble? What was it?
I was getting in trouble here and there, and then I was moving around as well. So I probably got kicked out of like 1 or 2.
Okay. And what were you doing to get into trouble? Like little stuff or what?
Yeah, just like little stuff. Like, you know, just, I don't know, just fighting and stuff like that.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. I don't know on the scale of how little that is, but that's what I was doing. I went to Riviera Middle School, like I said before, and then in order for me to get where I am today, I felt, well, me and my family made the executive decision to send me to a military school called Admiral Farragut Academy for a sports scholarship that I had there. And you know, it turned out to be, you know, a really good decision.
When did you and your family figure out that football might be, you know, an avenue that you could pursue professionally?
I mean, it's kind of hard. I feel like they made the best decision for me to pursue my dreams. I would say, like, after 8th grade, entering high school.
Wow.
They sent me to that school to, you know, get better looked at, get better academics, just in case the football thing didn't work out or anything like that.
Right.
I didn't see any other avenue, but you know, that was kind of just the mindset the entire time. I would say that.
Was it a little bit of, you know, since you had trouble in elementary school, maybe, hey, military yeah. school, kind of get you on the right track here with behavior and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I would more so say it was more so for, I wasn't like a crazy bad kid, so they weren't really like thinking of that in a sense, but they were thinking of where I could be as far as like with my peers at the time, to where, you know, a lot of my peers weren't doing what I was doing, and they could have held me back at some point.
So what kind of athletic program did this military school have that was so much better than, you know, some of the other public schools around town?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it was a athletic. It wasn't. Honestly, the athletic program was not too good until I got there. But they did want a better education just in case the athletics didn't work out.
Right.
I knew I was going to excel on the field, so we actually, before I got there, that school had so many losing seasons, and it was never even brought up in, like, sports.
Really?
So me and another few guys got there. We kind of changed the whole kind of just outlook on the sports program there. We, you know, went to state championship there. I won 2 state titles in track. So I was more so there for the sports program,
right.
But and it was honestly just, I knew colleges would come there if I excelled on the sports side.
Right.
So it wasn't really for the sports program, more so for the exposure that it would come with to be excelling at a school like this, which is also academic in a JROTC school.
So, yes. So, okay. I kind of get it. You know, there's a lot of these private schools. They're very, very small. They're very expensive. They cost thousands of dollars to go to. But they'll find a kid and give them a scholarship to go to this school. Their athletics aren't so great, but they want to be competitive, you know, because one of these schools that, you know, they cost $25,000 a year, you know, stuff like that, you know, usually they don't have competitive sports programs. So it seems like this school wanted to build a competitive sports program, found the right kids, gave the right guys a scholarship, and then they developed their sports program pretty rapidly. And then I would imagine the University of Miami, they see you in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Coach Golden or was it Coach Richt that you played
that was
for?
Coach Golden. So I was under Coach Golden. I played for Coach Golden and Coach Richt, but Coach Golden was the coach that originally recruited me.
Okay, so tell us about that meeting between you and Coach Golden for the first time. What was it about him? How did he sell, you know, okay, Rashawn, University of Miami, it's all about to you. How did he sell you on that school before you went down to Coral Gables and saw it, how beautiful it was?
So, I mean, I originally was committed to the University of South Florida, so USF Bulls, committed there for, I want to say, a year or two before Miami had given me a scholarship. And Coach Golden, the reason I fell in love with the U was because of the tradition, you know, it was the U.
Yes.
I mean, I like, honestly, at the time when I got the scholarship, I was like, dang, I really got a scholarship from the University of Miami.
Right.
Crazy. Another thing that, you know, kind of solidified everything was when Coach Golden came to my house in my neighborhood that I was living in at the time, and he was able to come to my house and, like, just sit with us face-to-face and talk. And, you know, I just thought it was cool that, hey, man, I'm this kid from South St. Petersburg, Florida, and I got the head coach for the University of Miami football team in my living room.
He's like, in your living room. He's talking to you and your parents. Yeah, I would say that's pretty cool.
Right, thanks. And you know, I felt really special from that time on. And I just fell in love with the program and the history of the program. I started to learn more about the history of the program. I wasn't a big University of Miami fan growing up. I wasn't really like even like a football fan growing up. I was just good at football. But once I was able to receive scholarships from various different schools, I started to try to learn a little bit more about the universities and stuff.
Tell me the difference. Okay, you got Coach Al Golden comes to your house. He's talking to your parents. He's sitting in your living room. He leaves, and in comes Mark Richt, who wore the uniform. I mean, played quarterback for the University of Miami. I mean, actually played bench. He was behind Jim Kelly when he was there. But regardless, you've got a coach that recruits you. He leaves. A new coach comes in. Tell me about the difference between those two coaches and the adjustment after being recruited by one coach and now another coach has inherited you.
I would say, you know, Coach Golden was more of a psychological kind of guy. Like he would, you know, try to get you in it with the mind games and the head. Like, you know, it was a lot to do with like the mental, your mental.
Okay.
And that's how we would prepare leading into the games and stuff like that. And Mark Richt was more so of, I'm not going to say I go in and make us work, but Mark Richt really brought that SEC, you know, he came from Georgia, so he really brought that SEC hard hat, lunch pail mentality, just beating up the weight room, staying in the nutrition cafeteria and just getting real bulky to be able to compete all year round and being able to bring out the best potential athlete that you could possibly be physically.
Interesting.
I would definitely say both, you know, good coaches in my opinion, and, you know, just different philosophies and yeah, it wasn't too much of a change because at the end of the day it was an X and O's games. acting an old game. And, it was just a little bit adjusting to do as far as just, you know, new faces and new philosophy and everything like that. But overall, it was pretty good.
What do you consider your big break, Rayshon? Like, was it a specific thing? Was it like that high school All-American game with Hugh Jackson? Was it getting Al Golden in your living room to recruit you? Was there a specific moment or a series of events that you would consider your big break to where you are today?
I mean, honestly, I've had a lot of big breaks. it's just kind of how it's been my whole career. Leading my team to a state championship and having the Alabama coach on the sideline offering me a scholarship and winning two state titles in track. But I would say my biggest break to where it like kind of made my just future a little clearer was probably getting invited to the NFL Combine, 2017 NFL Combine.
Yeah, tell me about that experience.
Yeah, it was cool. It was in Indianapolis. And I would say it's an interesting experience. It was really tiring. You know, you're up for hours and hours and hours, interviews, and you don't go to sleep until, like, late. And then they get you up the next day, and you have to do all this media. And the third day, you're doing combine drills and running around and running 40s and doing everything like that.
Right.
I mean, overall, it was I'm thankful for it, and it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, so that kind of puts you on the map. You got to be invited to the NFL Combine. If you're playing college ball, you don't automatically go to that. You need to be invited to that when you do show up, and it's on TV. That is what you considered really putting you out there, your big break, getting you noticed.
Yeah, I would say that was, yeah. Kind of, you know, it was a career starter, so.
Absolutely. So then you were drafted that year. Tell me about that phone call. You know, obviously that changed your life, getting that phone call from the Chargers. You know, every kid always dreams about that phone ringing and picking up that phone. Take me through that day for you, draft day.
So I was in my parents' living room and we're watching the draft. The first day, I mean, I obviously knew I wasn't going first day. It just was what it was, first rounder.
Right.
You knew by then. If you were going or not, or you had a chance. Okay, second day I'm watching it. It's the second and third round, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I got a shot here. Like later on in the maybe third round, you know, I was projected pretty high. I still didn't go then. So I don't know. I was just kind of mad, honestly. I was mad.
Really?
I was pretty pissed. And then I woke up this third day, and as soon as I woke up, I turned on the draft. I see Steelers come on the draft board, and
right.
I'm getting a phone call from a California number.
Yeah, there's a number on the phone that you don't quite recognize. Now you got to be like, okay, this is it, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I'm just like, I'm looking to see if like any California teams are on the board, and there's not. But then I see LA Chargers just made a trade up. I answer the phone, and I'm like, hello? And then they were, hey, Rayshon, this is the head coach for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, man.
We are going to tell you that we're here to select you with our fourth-round pick at number 113. And I'm just like, what? So I'm like, I'm trying not to yell through the house.
Right.
Tell my dad, like, hey, this is they're about to draft me right now. And then I go in, I mute the phone, like, they're about to draft me. They're about to draft. And, like, everybody is crying, like, bawling, crying. Like,
oh, man. So like, you kept it cool. You kept your composure. Your family lost it a little bit, though.
Yeah. My family lost it. And my dad, he turns on his TV in his room. And, you know, they're trading up. All you see is LA Chargers pick is in. And then, I go to talk to the head coach, Tom Telesco, the GM. Yeah, and all I see is next is as they're talking, I just see my name come across the board in my highlights, and I'm not really even listening to what they're saying on the phone anymore. Like,
you're on TV now, yeah.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, oh my god, it's like this is crazy. And, you know, everybody obviously saw it on TV and it's just losing their mind. Yeah, it was crazy. It was only like about four or five people.
Like a dream. Was it like a you were in a dream? Like you were in that had to be, you know, such a cool moment for, I mean, life changing for sure. I mean, you're telling me about the apartments that you're living in South St. Pete. You get that phone call and now immediately your life has changed forever.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Immediately. And then that same day, I get on the phone and I got to make all these, you know, everybody from the charger calling me to set up my flight to fly out like in like 3 days or whatever it is. And like as I'm sending these phone calls up, maybe like 5 to 7 minutes later, I look outside of my house. There's literally 100 people on the street. Like,
oh, wow.
Like flooding my house.
That's so cool, man. This podcast, you know, I was always wanting to get an athlete on this podcast to where this, you know, sports, you know, was their first job. Was this your first job? Did you have another job before the San Diego or the Los Angeles Chargers?
So this was actually my first ever original job, like official job. I'm not gonna say original, official job ever.
Getting taxes taken out of your check, first job, right?
Exactly. That I got taxed for money and stuff like that.
Right.
Clock in and do stuff like that. My other job I had when I was like maybe 12 years old, I used to cut grass with my brother, like 12 and 13 years old. I used to just cut and go around just knocking on people's doors, trying to get money just to, you know, cut their grass. And one of my best friends at the time, and then my brother, we used to just try to go around and just cut people's grass for like $20 a yard.
So that was like a kid's job, going around knocking on doors and cutting grass. But your real legit first job where they're taking taxes out of your check and you're paying Social Security and all that was a check from the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I say I never had a job.
That's so awesome.
You know, I'm doing what I dreamed of when I was a kid. So
that's awesome. So tell me, you got a successful career now. They traded you to the Jaguars. You got some great team this year. I mean, Trevor Lawrence. I'm watching ATN. This team looks like a really good team. You guys are beating some good teams. I saw both of your games in London. Tell me, now that you're and you sign a contract for, I don't know, I thought it was something like $35 million. So now here you are, you got all this money and you're living your dream, and that's so cool. What are you doing outside of football? Are you doing other things career wise because I kind of heard that you did.
Yeah, I mean, I do various other things. Well, first and foremost, the first thing I ever did was get into real estate with my money. That was something me and my fiance, we got into the first time we ever spent. Like, I didn't buy a car. I didn't buy a piece of jewelry, anything. I went to go buy a house just so I was like, okay, I'm forever good if I need to at least, like, if I ever was to get out of the league. And this was like 7 years ago.
Wow.
6 years. And that has been really successful for us. We have, you know, some long-term properties in the Tampa Bay area. We have some Airbnbs in the Tampa Bay area. So that does really well for us.
Very cool.
Thank you. And I have a CPA and a financial advisor that, you know, we hit the stock market pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
So we're definitely, you know, we have our share in that as well. And then, you know, I kind of do my hobbies as far as like music. So I signed an artist and I created a label to where I throw these shows. From these shows, I'm able to give my artists the proper exposure they need to market their music and get the exposure they need to, you know, be able to eat off of their creativity and their art, which is their music. I missed a bunch of ways you can get into it, but definitely like life insurance and stuff like that.
It looks like you got a pretty good handle on what's going on. You know, there's a lot of guys that don't, you know, they come from humble beginnings and they, you know, don't know what to do. They think that all this money, you know, kind of comes in forever. How did you figure it out at such a young age and become so smart financially? How did you figure it out? Buy a house, invest in life insurance and other real estate properties, Airbnbs. Who guided you when you were younger to make these good decisions?
I mean, I don't know. I would just thank God for my common sense, honestly, because, you know, I didn't know anyone that owned a house growing up or, you know, or was in the stock market or, you know, so I think just learning over time, I think my, you know, environment that I was put in both environments, because my first environment, I was so thankful that I got out that I didn't want to go back. So I was scared to like mess my money up. So I was like, you know what? I want to be able to be wealthy forever. And not, especially like, this is a blessing. A lot of people don't come across this. So, you know, it was just really like being the thinking person I am. You know, my fiance, she was one of the first people to basically convince me to go get the house and things like that. She basically, like, I always wanted to, but she kind of like pushed me like to, like, you know, just do it. Like, you know what, this is what we need to do. I had a kid in college. So it was, I was just putting my family before I put myself, if that makes sense. Thanks. I wanted this to be generational wealth and not just something I could, you know, enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's incredible, though. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen that way for a lot of guys from humble beginnings. So I'm just like, I'm very impressed, without a doubt. You know, you were telling me you were, you know, in apartments, a couple apartments in South St. Pete, and this all happened so fast. And you're not a very old guy. What are you, still 28, 29 years old? I mean, geez. I mean, you got a long ways ahead of you still. What if football didn't work out and the Chargers never called? What if Rayshon Jenkins was just graduated from college and you were just out in the workforce? What did you major in school? What do you think you would be doing without football?
I would say, I don't know, man. I just really didn't have any other plan besides football because I knew, like, my potential and what God gave me. So it sounds crazy, but I just knew I was going to make it. But I would probably say, like, just by nature, you know, I love to help people and do stuff like that. So, I mean, I would definitely be coaching football. That's like 1,000% probably what I would be doing. Coaching football, helping my dad run his barbecue shop. You know, I'm really close with my dad, so I'm pretty sure me and him would have been, you know, doing some things together. And this is various stuff, man. But by nature, I'm just a person who likes to help people. So I would probably, and give people knowledge. So I'd probably be coaching or doing something like that. I would have said real estate, honestly.
Yeah.
But who knows if I would have had the interest for real estate had I not had the money. So that's just hard to say.
Right. Man, I tell you, you're impressive, man. And, you know, congrats on all your success. And what really I want everybody to know about Rayshon Jenkins is that I meet him in the hallway at work. He was just about as nice of a guy as you could imagine for who he was. Took the time to chat with me for a minute. I just said, hey, I do this podcast. It's actually pretty popular and it's about your first job. And he couldn't have been more like, he's like, sure, I'll do it. And it wasn't like I was blowing him up over the weekend. I mean, he responded to me. We had communications for the last 3 or 5 days, whatever it was. And I was like, man, this guy's a really cool dude, really down to earth dude. So I think you'd probably be pretty successful doing anything, but probably in a business that requires you to talk to other people because you're a people person. You're a guy, you know, maybe sales could have been something that you were into because you're friendly and you can get people to like you and you can communicate with people. That's not an easy thing to do.
I appreciate that, Jeff, man. Those are, you know, kind words coming from you, man. Appreciate that.
Rayshon Jenkins, he plays safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Really impressive guy. By the way, that was his first job. He cut grass with his best friend and his brother back when he was a kid knocking on doors. But his real first job where he's getting taxes taken out, getting a paycheck is with the NFL. So that's pretty huge. From humble beginnings and didn't have much growing up, you know, in the inner city of St. Petersburg. What I found just really cool was how he took us through draft day and described that phone call that he got. You know, I dreamt of getting that phone call. I dreamt of my son getting that phone call. I mean, that's something that you dream about. Was his reality. And I just thought that was an incredibly great story. His big break being invited to the NFL Combine back in 2017. Not everybody gets an invite to go to the Combine. He did. He got to show his skills. He kind of got on the map right then and there. That was what he calls his big break. Not to mention when Coach Al Golden from the University of Miami went and sat down with Rayshon and his parents in his living room in St. Petersburg. If not for football, I say he'd be pretty successful in the world of sales. He said he wanted to help people and he would have gone into coaching or helped with the family business. His dad, Charlie's Barbecue Place, Big C's Barbecue in St. Pete. I still haven't gone there to try any ribs, but Rayshon tells me I definitely need to stop in. So Charlie, expect to see me here in the very near future. Man, guy starts off in humble beginnings and comes into $35 million investing in real estate, the stock market, life insurance. He wanted to make sure he had generational wealth for his family. Didn't go out and buy a fancy car, jewelry, real estate. Wasn't it amazing when he said he never knew anyone that owned their own house? Wow, this guy's got it all together. And by the way, pretty damn good football player in the NFL. What a great story. If you like the podcast, please give us a 5-star rating. Leave a review. Past episodes on CelebrityJobber.com. And please subscribe. Check out our brand new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@CelebrityJobber. You can subscribe to that as well. And we stream on every platform, wherever you pod, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere, as well as CelebrityJobber.com. Thanks for listening once again to Celebrity Jobber. Until next week, I'm Jeff Zito.